From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages from the ministry of Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns will continue this series of studies in the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening. This morning's text comes from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. The love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. The love of Christ in its sweetness, its fullness, its greatness, its faithfulness, passeth all human comprehension. Where shall language be found which shall describe his matchless, his unparalleled love towards the children of men? It is so vast and boundless that as the swallow but skims the water and dives not into its depths, so all descriptive words but touch the surface, while depths immeasurable lie beneath. Well might the poet say, O love, thou fathomless abyss! For this love of Christ is indeed measureless and fathomless. None can attain unto it. Before we can have any right idea of the love of Jesus, we must understand his previous glory in its height of majesty, and his incarnation upon the earth in all its depths of shame. But who can tell us the majesty of Christ? When he was enthroned in the highest heavens, he was very God of very God. By him were the heavens made, and all the hosts thereof. His own almighty arm upheld the spheres. The praises of cherubim and seraphim perpetually surrounded him. The full chorus of the hallelujahs of the universe unceasingly flowed to the foot of his throne. He reigned supreme above all his creatures, God over all, blessed forever. Who can tell the height of his glory then? And who, on the other hand, can tell how low he descended? To be a man was something. To be a man of sorrows was far more. To bleed and die and suffer, these were much for him who was the Son of God. But to suffer such unparalleled agony, to endure a death of shame and desertion by his Father, this is a depth of condescending love which the most inspired mind must utterly fail to fathom. Herein is love, and truly it is love that passeth knowledge. Oh, let this love fill our hearts with adoring gratitude, and lead us to practical manifestations of its power.
Here is love vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the prince of life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Who his love will not remember? Who can cease to sing his praise? He can never be forgotten.
In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions: the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant Word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns begins a message on the theme of Christ the Savior and Satisfier of the Soul. The setting is the Feast of Tabernacles, recorded in John chapter 7. It was at this particular feast that the Lord Jesus gave the greatest declaration of his messianic claims. It was an observance of God's deliverance of his people through their wilderness wanderings, a feast marked by great joy, especially in the ritual of the pouring out of water. It was at that point that Christ stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." This symbolized the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and all that the Spirit would accomplish through the preaching of the gospel. Now Dr. Cairns will introduce this message, Christ the Savior and Satisfier of the Soul.
John's Gospel, chapter 7. It's a fairly lengthy chapter, which starts in Galilee and ends up in Jerusalem. We're going to read a very brief passage, verse 37, 38, and 39, though the text will be 37 and 38. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. These words carry us back into Old Jerusalem to the Feast of Tabernacles, and to what I consider one of the most riveting incidents in the eventful ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Considered in context, the context of the Feast of Tabernacles, these words provide us with one of the most majestic and marvelous sayings that the Lord Jesus ever publicly made during his earthly ministry. It was autumn in Jerusalem, around our September or October time, and the city was thronged with people from many nations, from far and near, for the Feast of Tabernacles that had come to be known as the Feast of Foreign Pilgrims. Everywhere, multinational throngs made their excited way through the city, adding color to the spectacle of what was the most joyous event in Israel's religious calendar. The Feast of Tabernacles commemorated and celebrated the Lord's grace and power in delivering the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, leading them safely through the wilderness until finally they came to the promised land. The rituals of this feast were striking. It's called the Feast of Tabernacles because the children of Israel, having settled in the land, were intended for the duration of this week of feasting to live in booths made of usually palm branches or other branches to remind them of the transient nature of their pilgrimage through the wilderness, so that as they get settled down in the land, they would remember whence they came. Over the years, this became somewhat stylized. Often, people with the flat roofs on their houses would build a little booth on top of the roof, and they would spend a lot of time there, even spend the nights there. Others stylized it even more, and the whole thing came down to waving a bunch of branches, mostly willow, but with palm in the middle. However, it was the Feast of Tabernacles reminding them of their time in the wilderness. As I say, all the rituals of the feast were striking. During the 7 days of the feast, and I emphasize the seven because there was an eighth, Many commentators, especially modern ones, take the last great day of the feast to be the eighth day. I don't agree with them. I think the eighth day was an additional Sabbath added on to the end of the feast. And the feast proper was for 7 days. And the importance of that remark will become clear, I think, a little later. But during the 7 days of the feast, in the temple there in Jerusalem, the priests offered a total of 70 bullocks, 14 rams, 98 lambs, and 7 goats or kids. This was a feast of multitudes of sacrifices day by day. Each morning, when the morning sacrifice was laid upon the altar, one of the priests took a golden jug or small pitcher, and he made his way from the temple to the foot of Mount Zion, to the pool of Siloam. There he drew out water from the pool, and in ceremonial and joyous procession, he made his way back to the temple. There he made his way up the slope toward the top of the altar. And as he did so, the other priests gathered round, made a joyful blast upon the silver trumpets. When he got to the top of the altar slope, the priest took this pitcher of water, poured it into a silver basin, and at one side, the western side of the altar. Then he poured wine into another basin on the other side of the altar. And when he had accomplished all this, the swelling sounds of the chanting of what was called the Great Hallel, that is Psalms 113 to 118 inclusive. The chanting of the Great Hallel filled the Temple Mount. It proceeded something like this. The Levites chanted the first line of each psalm as they came to it. And as they chanted that opening line of each psalm, the general throng, the people, repeated that line. Then as they proceeded, the Levites chanted each succeeding line. And at the end of each line, with a deep-throated roar, the mighty throng cried, "Hallelujah! Praise ye the Lord!" When, however, they reached Psalm 118, the people not only repeated the first line, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good," they also, when they came to verse 25, repeated it as a mighty throng, and this was the prayer from all the gathered Jews. This is where we get our Hosanna. This is the text that was in the minds of the people of Jerusalem and what has come to be known as Palm Sunday, when they cried, "Hosanna." They were quoting this text. "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity." And then when they reached the final verse of the psalm, of the Great Hallel, all the gathered crowd, the thousands, lifted their voice once again. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And as they chanted these words, the thousands held forth their palm branches and they shook them toward heaven in joy and in triumph before the Lord. There were many other imposing and solemn rituals. And following them, the priests closed each day's public services with a procession around the altar, chanting the Hosanna, "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity." Then as darkness fell over the city, the whole temple area was set ablaze with the light of multitudes of burning candelabra and flaming torches. And so for 6 days. On the seventh day of the feast, the priests made the circuit of the altar, crying, "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity." Not just once, but seven times. So that it was as if they were encompassing Jericho's walls again, only this time they were encompassing the altar of God, crying for His salvation and His intervention and His prosperity. So that that last great day of the feast was called the Day of the Great Hosanna. Here then is the scene to which our text in John chapter 7 introduces us. Given the words that the Lord Jesus spoke, I think that it's not difficult to determine at which point in the proceedings of that last great day of the feast that he uttered them. The reference to the ritual drawing and pouring out of water is too unmistakable. Jewish rabbis used to say that anyone who has not seen the joy of the drawing water, as they called it, does not know what joy is. And certainly this was the point at which the joy and the exuberance of the people reached its climax. And for a very good reason. They understood what it meant. They knew that the drawing and the outpouring of the water was the symbol of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Commentators have argued about what we read in John chapter 7, where Jesus says, "He that believeth in me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And they have searched the scriptures and they can't find any place where the scriptures ever mention waters flowing out of the belly. An idiot is always an awful sight to see. An educated idiot is an even worse sight to see. Instead of looking for references to the water flowing out of the belly, what the Savior meant was the spiritual implication of it, of the outpouring of the Spirit, and that is a major theme of Old Testament prophecy. And the Jews understood that, and thus they were full of joy. Imagine the scene then. The priest arrives back at the temple from Siloam, and he pours out the water by the side of the altar. The chant of the great Hallel swells until it fills the air. The priests march around the altar seven times, crying, "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity." When they reach the end of their seventh circuit, there is a brief interval while other priests prepare the festal sacrifices. And at that time, that is immediately after the symbolic outpouring of the water, immediately after the circuit around the altar and the repetition of the great Hosanna, The voice of the Lord Jesus Christ rose strong and clear, filling the Temple Mount. And he cries, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." In other words, he was giving them the true interpretation of everything in which they'd been engaged. And I tell you, in all the ministry of Christ, as recorded in the four Gospels, there is no greater, no more glorious, or no more public proclamation of his messianic claims and message than he gives here.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.